Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. The baby has been born, and the Magi have come and gone. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled, because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. So I want to know who picked this scripture for the week after Christmas. Whose brilliant idea was this? A story about the Holy Family having to flee for their lives and the massacre of innocent victims? Why? This season after Christmas is bad enough. The come down after the great buildup, the cold, the dark, the nothing to look forward to. Asking ourselves, well, what do we do now? Now that there are no presents to buy, no decorating to be done, no cookies to bake, now that the glamorous part of Christmas is over, now that the story has been told, the Christ child has been born, what now? And the gospel writer gives us this. This is what happens next, according to the Gospel of Matthew. So when I was asked to preach this week, I thought I'd take a look at the lectionary texts for today and work from that. For those of you who may not know, the lectionary is a 3-year-long cycle of scriptures for each Sunday, developed by a group of biblical scholars and theologians from many of the major Christian denominations: Episcopal, Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, and United Church of Christ, among others, although you'll notice the Brethren are conspicuously absent. Who am I to argue with such an esteemed group? And chronologically, this is what follows the nativity story. There must be a reason. If you look at the other texts chosen for today, the one on the back of the bulletin, for instance, you will see that the other passages are not nearly so dire. The readings from Isaiah and Psalms speak of glorifying and praising God, and the letter to the Hebrews wrestles with what it means for God to be truly human. But it turns out that this is the passage that I needed to confront today. I was the one who picked this scripture, because these horrors are not confined to the Bible, unfortunately. We still have refugee families fleeing violence, persecution, and abject poverty today. Horrible things still happen. The recent crackdown on Muslims in India, China, and Myanmar, among other places, have fallen upon children much more than they have fallen upon their parents. In China alone, 500,000 children have been separated from their parents. And that's not even talking about what we have done to refugee families at our borders. It causes us to look at the fact that we live in a world where the quest for power often comes at the expense of innocent lives. So in a way, it makes perfect sense that this is the story we hear right after Christmas, because this is what Christianity is all about. It is what the incarnation is all about. It is why God came to live among us, to be one of us. God came to live among us to stand in solidarity with us in our suffering, to walk with us in our darkness. God is with us in our suffering, in whatever form that might take. Esau Macaulay, an African-American Episcopal priest and New Testament scholar who grew up in the South and whose ancestors were slaves, says that the very telling of the Christmas story is an act of resistance. It is a story of a God who cares so much for the weak, the poor, the hungry, that God becomes one of the weak and the poor. Jesus is in danger in this story and must rely on humans in order to survive. His family has to flee to the land that enslaved their ancestors. This is not a story in which the empire looks good. It's not a story in which the powers that be come out looking good. It is not a story in which the rich and powerful ultimately win. It turns the social and political norms of the day upside down. This is also not a story in which the all-powerful chess-playing God is at work. In this story, God is the baby. God is in danger. And yes, there are messengers from God who play a part, but it is human beings who are primarily responsible for getting that baby to safety. Human beings have a vital role to play in saving the Savior. We become actors in our own story of salvation. Not that we don't need help from God, of course we do. And that is in this story as well. Yes, Christmas is over, but the angels are still speaking. The words of the prophets are still being fulfilled. What I think is important to remember in the entire nativity story is that the angels do come, yes, bringing messages from God, but it is humans who must take action. It is Mary who must say yes. It is Joseph who must decide to stand by her. It is the shepherds who must follow the star, and the Magi must heed the call not just to visit the child, but to avoid Herod afterwards. It is the family that must leave everything and flee for the safety of their child, just as families do today. Angels don't announce themselves anymore like they did back then. They don't come on clouds descending from heaven with light and song. But that doesn't mean that they aren't still speaking. If angels are merely spirits in the divine service, then there are definitely angels at work today. In fact, I would argue that whenever we approach one another in Christian love, Whenever we speak to one another with compassion and understanding, we are opening ourselves up to be angels. But we must also, as listeners, open our ears to the messages that are coming to us from God today. And so the final message that I carry away from this reading today is that Emmanuel, God with us, does not just exist in the cozy comfort of our decorated houses and well-stocked refrigerators. God is with us in our suffering. God knows what it is like to have a child living on the margins, a child in danger. God knows what it is like to lose a child, because this baby was not saved in order to live a life of ease and safety. No, Jesus was saved in order to save us before being murdered. The reading from Hebrews for today notes that he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, and that because he himself suffered as a human being, he is able to help those who suffer. Of course, it is lovely, and for me, easy, to feel God's presence with us in the joyful, happy times, and to give thanks and praise to him. But it is vital that we know God is with us in times of loss, sadness, fear, and grief. And that is why it is important to hear this story today. I find myself wondering how we go about saving the Christ child today. I think perhaps we keep telling the story of a love so great that it is nearly impossible to comprehend. But we also need to save Jesus by continuing to live lives worthy of his teachings, to continue to help and heal those who are hurting and suffering. That is the role that we play in the saving of the Savior today. Because if human beings do not continue the work of Jesus, then we truly have lost him. So this story ultimately is a part of the Christmas story, as difficult as that may be, because it is about Emmanuel, God with us. God with us through our pain and anguish, with us through our dark times, with us through our questioning times. Yes, love came down at Christmas, love that is yours and mine. And that love is still with us to this day. The Christmas season never, ever ends. Amen.